Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Matt George is in a meeting right now. He's scheduled to join us at 3:15, might be a little bit later. Maybe around 3:20, maybe about 3:30.
I guess I can say, because he teased it. Is this Robert Ory episode out yet?
It is out. Yeah,
I gotta listen to it.
It dropped yesterday.
I gotta hear what Robert got to say. But you know the funny thing, because I think Robert Ory is the same way. I think Rick Fox is the same way. They all speak glowingly of that Kings team.
Oh,
the city of Sacramento, their experience with those series and that rivalry. It makes it hard for somebody to hate them after you hear the way they talk about. I remember, I think Kobe even said it. Kobe was like, "That was the one series we probably shouldn't have won."
Oh yeah, he said that multiple times.
He's like, "I don't know how that happened. That's the one we shouldn't have won." Through that whole three-peat.
Remember when Danny tried to book Robert Ory for us on the anniversary? Because I think that's why he had him on the podcast, was the anniversary of the shot. And Danny in San Francisco, before contacting us, tried to book Robert Ory for the show. And it's like, we would have done it. Like, it's cool. Danny always had ideas for the show, and sometimes I fell for him. So, let's do that. And then I think there's only one story in history we've never told. If we ever do a live show, I'll tell the story. If we, the next time we do a live show not on the radio, I'll tell the story. There's only one thing we've ever held from you, and it was freaking Danny in San Francisco with this stupid-ass idea, and me going, like, all right, like, what, like, cool, I'll do it. And then we do it, and it's like,
I think we both, like, called each other or texted each other. We gonna really do this.
I sent a group text. It was like, hey, I don't want to do this. And you're like, okay, good. Neither do I.
Because I thought about when at first I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it some more. I was like, I don't know if we should be doing this.
I was legit pacing around my bedroom.
I'm going to keep it real. That's probably the worst idea that's ever came through.
Ever.
Like, that's my one regret this show, is that I was like too new. So I was like, I can't speak up. I wanted to speak up.
Ever. It was so by far the worst idea. That I just was like, all right. And I remember once it was done, I was pacing around my room, just like literally just walking in circles. And all I kept saying was, why are we doing this? And I never came up with an answer. And I was like, we're not.
We pulled a Farhan.
We are just not doing it. So there's your tease for whenever our next live show is. We'll tell you that story. You might have to remind us, but we'll tell you that story. There's a great story over on ESPN.com, of course, Ramona Shelburne, great writer. She wrote about Nikola Jokic, and it really is kind of the transformation of Nikola Jokic. And it's offered me such a greater appreciation for him. And obviously his body has gone through an amazing, you know, physical transformation over the last handful of years, and really a pretty dramatic one from the 19-20 season and then into that shutdown, and then, you know, kind of on, he's been able to maintain it. But he has such a desire to be great. And I don't think that's an aspect of him that I've respected enough, because like Jokic, the first thing that came to my mind was when we talk about Malik Monk. And Trey Lyles. Trey will quietly score 16 points, 17 points, or whatever. and Malik will very loudly score 12. I'll remember all 12 of Malik's and maybe one of Trey's. Mm-hmm. But it's not their game. It's their personalities.
Their aura.
And I think I don't know what precurses the other, but it's like media and fans are drawn to the louder personalities, whether it's, you know, like Tim Brown, one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, right? It's not up for debate. But Deion probably got more coverage like the two times he played wide receiver or as a cornerback, or Terrell Owens, or like you remember.
Well, never mind.
No, well, yeah. Hey, come on, man. What are we doing? What are we doing? Like, man, what would you listen to on the way here? Like, come on, man. But like the loud. But in your defense, he fits the argument. The louder personalities versus the on-field quieter ones. And Jokic is, you know, when you compare games of like Jokic and Embiid, Jokic has Embiid has a louder personality, right? Mm-hmm. He's a funnier guy. He likes to be in front of the camera and tell jokes and do all of these different things. And Jokic he's business. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what he's about. But he has, Michael Malone compared him to Tim Duncan. Mm-hmm. Said he's a lot like Tim Duncan, and he did it from a basketball perspective, talking about he's a selfless superstar. But I think those two fit together in the other category of being quiet superstars. Mm-hmm. No one ever talks about the Tim Duncan era. No one ever talks. Like, you have to remind people when you have the Kobe discussion, like, Tim Duncan is in the same timeline. Mm-hmm. Like, those dudes were out there winning all of the titles. And it's because of their approach.
Yeah.
And I think I've allowed Jokic's approach to cloud how I feel about him a little bit. Mm. And reading this article about how he, you know, they suffered that game 7 loss, and I don't remember the exact number, but he missed like 7 of 10 shots, you know, late. And the story is he walks into Michael Malone's office and he's emotional. He says, I promise that'll never happen again. Mm. And part of it was he was gassed. He didn't have the wind to carry the fourth quarter of a 7th game. Mm-hmm. And he made the commitment there, along with, you know, the Nuggets strength and conditioning coach is a big part of this article, because they work so closely together. As, you know, he had been trying to push him to get into better shape. Mm-hmm. And Jokic was finally the one who said, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
And you can, it doesn't take much to figure this out when you look at the timelines. Wow. He's been the best player in the league since making that commitment.
Mm.
2 MVPs and this season later, there's no one better than he is. And I have such a greater respect for Nikola Jokic after reading that article.
Yeah, I mean, he's quite simply one of the greatest players to ever play the game right now. Right now. He could retire at the end of this series. He's one of the greatest to ever do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you talk about him, and this may sound blasphemous. I'm not, once again, say this a lot, but I'm not trying to be disparaging to these people. Mm-hmm. But say Jokic wins this title. 2-time MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Ewing never did that.
Mm.
David Robinson, 1 MVP, no championships. Or, well,
no,
he got two, I think. He got two. But it wasn't.
I think he just got the one, didn't he?
Did he get the second one with Duncan? Or
I
maybe
think he
just
got 99.
Maybe he just got 99.
I think he got 99.
But that's not looked at as what Jokic is about to do.
Mm.
You know, it's still a championship. I'm not taking it away from him. But it's not looked at the same way. It looked like Tim Duncan came in and got that form.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the greatest to ever do it. He's a top 75 guy. We're having that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I just, in the last, since we really started talking about, he won these MVPs, and we would have the discussion all the time, like, I'm just not really moved to watch Jokic. I'm not crazy about watching his game. I understand his greatness, but I'm not crazy about watching his game. The more I continue to watch, and the more I'm like, this guy's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you sit there and you watch the way he executes, the way he performs out there on the court. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That 1'3", fall away three against the Lakers.
Absurd.
Two things stood out about that. Number one, it was a crazy shot, obviously. The other thing that stood out is that I don't think anybody really batted an eye about him making it. They were in awe because it was amazing, but not like, oh, he would, that's just luck. And they were like, no, that's what Jokic does. You know what I mean? Like, you understand the difference? Like, it's not like, oh, that's just lucky. Like, he you know, pulled that out of his hat. Like, no, that's what Jokic does. He's amazing. He can hit that. He didn't even touch nothing but the bottom of the net. And that goes to his greatness, man. He is that dude. He is, I say it all the time with other people, but he is as advertised for anybody that's going to watch Jokic for the first time in these NBA Finals.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really fun series to watch. It might be a little different than some finals that we've seen in the past, in recent years, but especially with the Warriors, you know, headlining, you know, a handful of them over the last more than a handful.
The crowds have something to do with that too.
Yeah, I don't love that aspect of it. I don't like Denver's crowd. I don't like Miami's crowd. I guess I like Miami's crowd in the moment.
Yeah,
I guess they can
Miami's
do
that. Crowd's pretty
good. I don't like Denver's crowd. And that's such a big part of basketball. It's like wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
A great crowd can make a bad match great. Yeah. A great crowd can make a regular game great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if either of these crowds are capable of
Miami's a crowd that if the game is turning up like the game six did, like it started to turn up and, you know, get interesting, get drama filled, they rise to that occasion. But you're never going to see Miami before tip off, all 18,000 standing, and they're just standing for the next 48 minutes. It's not who they are. So, and that's what we want. That's what we want in the playoffs. That's what we want in the NBA Finals. But, you know, it's whatever, man.
We'll talk with Matt George, host of the Locked On Kings podcast and reporter over at ABC 10 with D'Lo McCasey. Brought to you by Sky River Casino. Returns here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
D'Lo and Casey.
D'Lo and Casey continues
on ESPN 1320.
If you're not following D'Lo and Casey yet on Instagram, go do that, please, at D'Lo and Casey. Our man Leezy Scorsese does some great work, as does the Dope Ones. If you look at some of the reels that we have on there, most of them I didn't create. Don created all our Corners of the Culture reels, and Leezy's put together some great stuff with our video from our conversation with Ty Dolla $ign. So go check that out. Follow us again on Instagram at D'Lo and Casey. You know I got to know what the question is.
Well, first of all, also big ups to the legend Missy Elliott showing love as well.
Man, how about that? Yeah, yeah. And that's something Don is really good at. Like,
yeah,
Don tags.
They know Don.
Yeah, Don, for real. Don tags everyone who he makes reels with. And we talked about this on an episode, I think, of Corners, where That's how Spike found him. Mm-hmm. Like, he tagged Spike in something he made for him, and he's tagged Missy Elliott and some of the different people that we've talked about on Corners of the Culture. And mm-hmm. Alan Hughes, when we talked about mm-hmm. Pac, tagged mm-hmm. him. And both of them recognized the tweets, including Missy Elliott, who retweeted one of the reels that Donnie made after our episode on the artistry of Missy Elliott.
Maybe I should tag Draymond Green next time I talk about him.
Yeah, it'll give you the Dick Sherman treatment. You can't even apologize to Richard Sherman because he just blocked you.
Yeah, like not going to unblock me either.
No?
It's all love.
Not everybody unblocks you as easily as I do.
All I was going to ask you wasn't a big thing as we wait on Matt George. Matt George will be here soon.
He is in a meeting, by the way. Yeah. He informed us he'd be a little bit late, but he'll be here.
Did you see that video of the LSU players putting on that air-conditioned helmet?
I'm sorry?
So somebody made a football helmet
uh-huh.
that is supposedly air-conditioned.
Uh-huh.
And they put it on, like, whoever
who
made it.
Who did this?
I don't know who did it.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I don't know. I think, because you never see the person. I think the person who made the helmet
uh-huh.
was giving it to all the LSU players.
Oh, LSU. Okay, that's right. Mm-hmm. LSU.
LSU.
Okay. Got you.
And he's like, look, you know, check out this air-conditioned helmet. They all, like, separately, like, they're not around each other. Like, he's going around. They put it on, and they're like, let me see what this is about. They're like, oh, my gosh, this is a game changer. This is going to – I can't go back to another helmet. And they're like, yeah, man, you get to wear it all year for your games and practices. And they're like, oh, yeah, I ain't never even going to sweat. Like, seems a little dangerous, but I guess the football players loved it.
So, oh, man, I got a lot of questions. So it's an air-conditioned helmet. So just
– if it's real, I don't think they should be wearing it.
Well, shouldn't everybody be wearing the same helmet?
And, like, for – you mean for football?
My man said, oh, my God. Yeah. Shouldn't everybody
you
have
mean
the
like
same
the
helmet?
Opponent, too?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in college, at least, like, if you can find somebody to get you better equipment, you keep it for yourself.
Oh, this is funny.
Yeah, they going crazy.
LSU trying out helmets with air conditioning. This is wild. That is, my man said, feel this. Oh, this is.
What are the guys like? Yeah,
there's no way they got a full team full of air conditioned helmets.
They got that LSU.
This is like a one prototype. This it can't
he
be.
He said the guy that's taking the picture and like showing everybody, he's like, yeah, that's all you got. You guys got it all year for your games and practice.
That's crazy.
But the reaction is what had me like, yo, I wonder what that felt. Because they all felt it immediately. They were like, this is different. This is amazing.
This dude said kid takes a hard hit to the helmet and it starts leaking Freon.
That's another reason why I'm like, that. I don't know if that's approved, man. I don't know if you can wear that.
Then this was the comment that I was looking for because I knew there would be one. I mean, you could have gone with brain trauma proof helmets, but yeah, let's go with AC. Let's distract you from the. Someone's going to do a brain. Well, if the brain is cooler.
Then, you know, I did think about that.
My man said, damn, I can't even get the AC to work in my truck. Man, it is. Dude, college football at these universities, boy, is different.
It is different. Man. Yeah, I think about the electrical part of that, and I just don't know if they should be wearing that.
I was just gonna freaking HVAC guy on the sidelines, just ready to go whenever a helmet goes out.
Look, that's how they got the NIL. They got somebody NIL for that,
man.
For HVAC company.
If you are looking for me this summer, I am the one with the LSU helmet on. All I do when I see stuff like this is look at the quote tweets. Because I stay out of the comments. The comments can get dark. I look at the quote tweets
because no,
the quote tweets are funny.
Pretty funny. Yeah.
You're on your own. I'm gonna read every last one of these.
That is funny. Like,
I have,
playing,
dude. I have so many questions.
They're gonna be playing a team like the Citadel. Meanwhile, Citadel's just sweating bullets through their head. Meeting LSU, just we're good. See? We're good.
We're good.
My man, this brother said, CTE on ice. Come on, man.
No.
Oh, man. This is terrible.
Come on, man.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah, that's great. The thing that drew me to that video was the players' immediate, all their immediate reactions.
Oh, their reactions are incredible. Yeah, their reactions
like,
are
what?
Incredible. We'll retweet this so you for later on, so you guys can see this if you didn't see it.
Buck Father in the chat says, "Imagine if you accidentally put it on heat."
Oh man,
you don't switch it on to cool.
He got a. it's controlled by a smartphone.
Oh no.
AC's gonna go out of the apartment. Coach, can I take my helmet on?
Oh, it's only a matter of time. Oh, it's terrible. You can't point tweets like that out during the show. You'll just lose me. We still got 30 minutes left waiting for Matt to join us. I could be gone. Because now all I can think about is that damn AC helmet. We're not too far away from needing one of those here.
You know, it's actually been okay.
It really has. It's okay. It's been cold in the morning.
It's been okay.
Well, okay.
I'm
sorry.
Had any issues.
My morning and your morning might be different.
No, I'm talking about in the studio.
Oh, studio's been fine.
No,
well,
in the world, in Sacramento, it's a little windy in the morning, yeah. A little chilly. I might have some shorts on with a hoodie or a crew.
See, I had to abandon the shorts. I thought it was too cold.
Mm.
I thought it was too cold. Because you walk in the morning, right? Did you walk Reese to school?
Yeah. It's okay. Well, I drive Reese to school. I park a certain place, and then Ryan now accompanies me, and we take a walk back to the car. We take the long
And how's that happen? Like a hold or a
on the
stroller?
Okay. The stroller.
I saw a lady, a couple, parent pushing a stroller. The kid had to have been like 7. I kept looking like, is like, because I was walking Sprout, and you know, it's always a lot of traffic by the park and the school, and is he holding a baby? There's no baby. The stroller is just for the kid. And then she popped out of the stroller, ran around her parents, and then plopped back down. Like, man. Okay. It's different.
Look, man, you know,
it's different.
We'd be quick to notice that. We'd be getting mad. We'd be like, if you don't get that baby out of that stroller. Mm. That's a damn shame.
That's a
we'd be quick to notice that.
That is a full-grown human being that you're pushing around in a stroller.
I'd be so upset.
Sam Thomas said, hold up. Got to update my helmet's AC.
Be right back.
I wonder if the outer part of the helmet is cold.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Like, one of them players go to...
I'm serious. I don't know how that's supposed to work.
I don't either.
Like, that seems dangerous.
I got a lot of questions. Like, where's the system? Dangerous. Like, there's a giant system outside my house that operates my air conditioner.
Yeah.
Where is the one that operates these helmets?
I don't know. And what happens when somebody gets hit in the head? Like, what if it explodes? The HVAC in
what?
The helmet just explodes.
You imagine the HVAC guy telling him, yeah, I'll be there from 2 to 5 to fix it.
Well, see, that's not a problem at these schools, though, because they'll be like, hey, this is LSU. We'll be right there.
Sorry, Miss Watson. I'm out of here.
Sorry, ma'am. No, I know your AC's been broke a week and it's 110 outside, but LSU called. gotta go take care of their air-conditioned helmets.
Speaking of the swamp, I had a dream about an alligator last night. Don't like those things.
Why, though?
I don't know. Don't ask me why. You talked about how hot it was. I thought about the bayou. Thought about alligators. I was like, I did dream about an alligator last night.
You remember all of your dreams, and it's fascinating.
You know,
I can't remember any.
You know, you only, I think they say you only remember like the last minute and a half of your dream.
Okay.
Like you dream pretty much all night, almost every night. But the ones you remember, it's only like the last minute and a half.
Oh, I can't even remember the last dream I remembered. Remember the last dream I remembered. Yeah, that works. That checks out.
Alligator attacking me. Didn't like that, dog.
your dreams aren't good. Like, between alligators, who tried to offer you again?
Yeah, Casey's always getting ran up on his dreams.
Paolo Banchero, that's right. Paolo Banchero once tried to kill.
No, that one was crazy. Kenny. That was crazy. I don't know why he tried to rob me.
They're going to be in the same building at one point. They're going to kind of look at each other like, we know each other, but he don't know why.
They're going to lock eyes at the Golden One Center this year like, I know I don't like that brother. I ain't never met him before. I know I don't like him, though.
I don't know why Paolo tried to rob me, bro.
That's wild. This man had a dream.
This was like before he was in the league, too.
Yeah, like... that's right. It's like the first time you saw him at Duke. Like, he reminded me of Carmelo Anthony. The next day, he was trying to rob you. That's an all-time moment. Man. That is an all-time moment. Johnny G says smoking weed helps make you remember your dreams.
No, that ain't me.
I've taken an edible before bed, and all that does is that just puts me out.
I don't know.
My girl at Crystal Nugs, though, gave me some, like, sort of, it was some sort of combo gummy. I don't know what it was. I had to, because it looked just like the other package. It was different, though. It was called, like, 2-to-1 or 2-1 or something, it was some sort of different, like, mixture versus the other one I have where I just take it, chill, go to sleep, no problem. This one had me thinking.
Oh, jeez.
I was like,
are those really mermaids in dive bar?
Some people ask those questions sober with no gummy. Well, to hell with Matt George. Matt George can join Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, you can go to hell. Straight to hell.
Says he's got a work meeting.
You haven't talked about what you think is going to happen in these finals. I know you don't do predictions, but like, how do you see it? Like, how do you see this happening?
Denver feels like too much for me. I think Jamal Murray's in a groove.
I didn't even mention Jamal Murray.
I think Nikola Jokic is going to, like, Nikola Jokic's averages right now are insane. Mm. It's like, I'm going to say 30. I think it's 29.9, but it's like 30, 12, and 13 or 14. Mm. It's like something ridiculous. And
he's 29.9, 13.3 rebounds. 10.3 assists. 10.3 for this assists. Postseason.
That's crazy.
And a block.
A block. But I'm also not going to discount the Miami Heat. Like, they have fought through everyone and everything.
Yep.
And they're as an intriguing team. That's why I really am. It's not, again, if you. This playoff, this NBA playoff season is like a season of your favorite show. Mm-hmm. If you're just tuning in to the season finale, you're not going to have an emotional investment in it. Mm. It might not even make sense to you. You skip the first handful of episodes or however many episodes there are, and you just went to the straight season finale and you're trying to figure it out. It won't make sense if you're just tuning in to the finals. You might not get it, but if you have followed this journey of not so much the Denver Nuggets, but the Miami Heat, because Denver was good all year and there was no question about it. Whether you believed in them or not that's your business. But Miami's story has been told from the final 4 minutes of the second play-in game to now. That's their story. Yeah. And if you haven't watched that story unfold, man, I don't think you have the same investment into this series. I think this series is going to be a blast. I think it's going to be really exciting. I think we might get a 90-88 finish somewhere.
Oh, wow.
I think we also might get, you know, some 110s and 115s. Like, I think this series is super compelling. I'm excited to see what Jimmy Butler does and I mean, we know what Jokic is, but this could be the beginning of, like, we've said this before, like, this could be the beginning of a run for Denver.
Yeah,
I mean, despite the fact that they've been around for a while,
they're kind of set and ready to go.
Bringing our buddy Matt George. We sent Matt George to hell just moments ago, but he is he back. Is back live from his very cluttered studio. Is that a part? Did you block the entranceway? What is that?
What?
That big black box that behind thing? You. Yeah.
That's a fridge. It's a mini fridge.
Oh, okay.
There like months.
Oh. All right.
You're just so focused on me. Why did I go to hell? I mean, I deserved it, but why?
Well, just because you were later than I anticipated.
Oh, come on.
So I sent you to hell.
And
how did your conversation with Robert Horry go?
Great. I actually had a great time talking to Rob. He's a really nice guy. He didn't like me calling him a villain at the very beginning, but that's okay.
he's kind of hard to dislike when you hear him talk.
He was very cool. No, he had some great things to say about Sacramento. I didn't know how people were going to react to that. It was more of a positive reaction than what I was expecting. I thought people were going to go, nope, you traitor, F you, I've never listened to this podcast again. But a lot of people were actually like, it's hard to not like Big Shot Bob despite what he did. So talking to Robert was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that interview.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not – we all have the same pain from that time and, you know, that. But people would be crazy to be like, have a problem with you for having a conversation with Robert Horry.
I received some emails, some pretty significant emails, but it was the vast majority were cool with it.
That's crazy.
It was great.
It's nothing compared to what I got from Warrior fans, though, during the Warrior series.
You can ignore those.
Destroyed. It was I've never gotten a death threat in my life before, and I got one. It felt like it was like a moment, a milestone.
With the handful of brothers and sisters in our chat house who found us via 95.7 and the morning roast and all of that, most of those people aren't well. And sometimes when you get those emails, you know, we had a brother in our Twitter mentions last night. It was like, hey, God bless you, brother. All I could do is pray for you.
That's all I could do.
Because you are not well. And I wish you the best. He follows us. He listens. Hey, bro. Hey. God be with you, man. Hang in there. Matt will take you to his Bible college that he went to, and you know maybe you can get peace there, because, sir, you're not okay.
No.
And I worry about that fan base. I worry about their stability. I worry about what happens when Steph retires. They're gonna have a tough time. So Matt, you can take all those emails. You can send them to the junk folder. You can burn them because that group is not well.
Well, the ones commenting on my wife's social media, they can they're not invited. They're not invited to the Bible college. There's no saving them.
No.
They can just go right on down the stairs to where it's warm.
The fact that they found your wife's account is amazing, because I don't think I have it.
In it?
That's
pretty great. She's extremely private, but they found it, and they made comments.
Bro, these people, Twitter is crazy.
Oh, it definitely
Twitter is crazy. They even found this man's burner account, the ref. How? How would you find that? I still don't know how you would find his burner account.
If people dedicated themselves to like criminology the way they did dedicate themselves to digging through old tweets, we would have like probably an incredible FBI system. I mean, yeah. I'm sure it's already pretty great, but boy, the amount of mysteries that Twitter can solve just by doing some digging and spending tens of hours in their basements, it's pretty incredible.
You hear that, Dr. David? Stop digging up old tweets. Dr. Dave, unless instructed to.
They put that energy into doing something positive with their life. We could have a great
Instead, we're going to go at Matt George's wife because he's talking about the Sacramento Kings. She's very much in his job description, but right. Who cares?
Well, don't say a bad thing ever about Kevon Looney. You'll be fine.
Okay. What do you guys got cooking tonight, the NBA Finals?
So the NBA Finals are on ABC, so right afterwards we'll have a post-game show. Myself, Kevin, and the high flyer Henry Turner will join us.
Wow.
We'll have Jerry Reynolds on Sunday, and then after game two, and then after game three next week, your boy David Patrick will be joining us in studio.
Nice.
DP. So, and we're working on game four right now, but we have a lot of fun. We bring guests in, doing big post-game shows, doing it big as much as we possibly can. I'm just hoping for a good game tonight, because I got a feeling I have a feeling Denver's going to roll tonight. So
really?
We'll
God, that seems to be the – y'all have learned nothing. have really learned nothing.
You know, the crazy thing about it is, I kind of understand it. Like, I kind of get it. I do. But Denver, like, probably really believes they're being disrespected going into the series.
Like, everybody's going to pick them to win this series.
Okay. So why would Denver feel disrespected?
That's the whole point.
Oh.
That's the whole point. I feel like feel disrespected. Like, you guys aren't disrespected.
Like, Matt said it. I think Sarah said it. Kyle said it. Like, everybody's got – it's not just – I mean, I'm cool with anyone who thinks Denver's going to win, but all three of you – and I think Kenny – Denver. All four of you.
Five. Denver and five.
Y'all got Denver just plowing through the little old Miami Heat tonight.
Oh, see, I wouldn't say – oh, well, tonight, yeah. I just think Denver's rested. They haven't lost – what did you say earlier? They haven't lost at home since March.
That's crazy.
I mean, the elevation plays a factor, I think, as well, and there's always an adjustment a little bit to that, but I'm not going to spend too much time on that. Plus, like, they've had time, and the Heat just went through a grueling war. Although, one of the things I love that Eric Spoelstra said after game six was he was like, man, we want to play right now. We want to play right now. We want to get this back right now. And the Miami Heat looked in game seven like they were staring at the clock and not sleeping until that moment, because they took the floor in Boston in game seven and said, finally, here's our chance to make this right, and they made it right quickly. So maybe the Miami Heat keep that same energy going into game one, but – man, I think Denver's poised. I think they're ready. I think they just have a lot of weapons. Plus, I don't know how you can stop Jokic when he's shooting fadeaway, catapult behind the head threes that are going in. So I don't know what you do against that, man. I don't think it's going to be a sweep. Five games even feels. I think it's like Denver and six. I know I'm very actively rooting for Denver, even though I predicted coming into this year that the champion was going to be in the East. I'm actively rooting for Denver simply because of Mike Malone, and I want to see him have that moment and see him get that championship. But I think it's going to be a good series. I think it's going to be competitive, and Miami posts some problems for Denver that people aren't really talking about because everybody's talking about the problems that Denver has for Miami. So I think it's going to be fun.
What do you see? What problems do you see that Miami poses for Denver?
Well, I think in comparison to – I know taking on the L.A. and Anthony Davis, and Anthony's certainly no scrub, but like I think Bam Adebayo is being slept on a little bit in this series. Like I think Bam is going to be able to do more than what – like people are thinking like it's going to be – if there's going to be a dominant center, it's Nikola Jokic, and there's absolutely no chance in hell that Miami can even compete. And to me, I think Bam has a lot more to offer there. Plus, like I think – I personally think if Miami's going to win this series, I think Jimmy Butler needs to average like 35 a game. But I think he's capable of doing that on this biggest stage. I mean, I think he's going to absolutely give it his all too. I think the Denver Nuggets are pretty reliant on their depth at times. Mm-hmm. And that's worked for them to this point, which is why I think it's going to be good for game one with how rested they are. But in my opinion, like, I don't think Miami or Denver is going to be able to get that depth output every single night in this series like they've gotten to this point in the playoffs. I think there are going to be nights where Nikola Jokic is going to be doing his thing, but maybe Jamal Murray struggling or MPJ struggling or Aaron Gordon struggling, or maybe two out of the four of those guys. And that's going to be enough for Miami to win by 5-10 points.
Yeah, that's a great point, Matt, because Denver's like a seven-man rotation, I think, and Miami just, you know, they can't really do that. I'll say this, though. Maybe it's because I didn't cover him. Like, I do not have the sentimental attachment to Michael Malone. I like him like I like Eric Spoelstra. Like, I like him as another coach in the league. But I feel like a lot of people here have this really – and I guess it's maybe because you guys covered him. Like, I just don't have that attachment to – Michael Malone that so many of you guys do.
Actually, I never got to cover Michael when he was here in Sacramento. When he was fired, it was when I just started or was very early on into my internship when I started in this industry. And so to me, like my love of Mike Malone came from, like, you could see the tides were turning. And to me, Mike Malone was one of the biggest wrongs that the Sacramento Kings organization has ever made. I remember putting out a tweet a while ago where I said, if I could take back one of the Kings drafting Luka or firing Mike Malone, I would take back them firing Mike Malone. I was destroyed for that take at the time, but I still stand by it. Like, as much as I love Mike Brown, and Mike Brown's making it finally an easier pill to swallow, I think the Kings wouldn't have been even remotely close to this position if Mike Malone had stuck around and they hadn't made the mistakes that we blame Pete D'Alessandro for. And I had Jason Jones on my podcast today. We were talking about villains. And Pete D'Alessandro was one of the villains that came up. We blame Pete for the Mike Malone firing, and rightfully so. Pete was a disaster here. But also, we know there are things going on outside of the front office that from higher up that also influence decisions like that as well. Mm. So I think the Kings firing Mike Malone was an absolute disaster that set them back another 5-6 years, and is the reason why this playoff drought the Kings finally broke is the longest in NBA history.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. Usually with me, Matt, I'll take the player, you know, as opposed to the coach. So when you talk about if you could take one of the decisions back, you know, I'd probably go with drafting Luka instead of Bagley over firing Michael Malone. But point well taken. I mean, you had the player in DeMarcus Cousins who believed in the coach, and it seemed like they were starting to have some type of symmetry, and it was a really good building block that you talk about rebuild and can't ever rebuild because nothing has been built. Mm-hmm. Well, they had a couple of blocks up, like, you know, like a nursery area. They had a couple of blocks up, and then they just slapped the blocks down.
Yeah.
Like, you were starting like an to build angry something. Child. Just slapped the blocks down. So
you also had a really, really good three in Rudy Gay, who stayed because of Mike Malone mm-hmm. specifically mm-hmm. and wanted to be a part of this going forward. And then he was pissed that Mike Malone was fired, and that was never really the same. Plus, I don't know if Mike Malone would have been able to handle this better or not. There were incidents at times of the relationship between Rudy Gay and DeMarcus Cousins at times too that I think Mike Malone would have handled. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think Mike Malone the decision to fire Mike Malone, blindsiding everybody by firing Mike Malone, started an avalanche that took this Kings organization until this season to recover, until the hiring of Mike Brown. Literally, all those head coaches that the Kings went through after Mike Malone, even ones that we liked, like Dave Yeager to some extent, like, all of that is a wrong you had to right because you fired Mike Malone. And thank God Mike Brown came in here and finally was the right.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the Kings can still, the Kings front office, Mike Brown, but particularly the Kings front office and ownership, they can still draw from Michael Malone and this Denver Nuggets team, because we talked about what an incredible arc this is for them. Now, you know, when you talk about, there were questions about Michael Malone in recent years about whether he could take this group to the next level, whether this group could get to the next level, and they dealt with, and while this year has been fun and it's exciting and all that stuff for Sacramento, it's you're going to face hiccups, whether it's next season or the season after or the season after that. At some point with this core group, where you're going into the season hoping you're going to advance in the playoffs, hoping you're going to win a championship, you're going to face hiccups. And that's what the Denver Nuggets did. They faced hiccups in Michael Porter's injury and Jamal Murray's ACL tear. And they dealt with, you know, clickbait columns on, you know, Michael Malone and whether he should be on the hot seat or not. Could someone else get them over the hump? Are you wasting Nikola Jokic there by not advancing in the playoffs? They withstood all of that, stayed the course. We've seen a lot of very good teams with a lot of very good players, Matt, not stay the course in recent weeks. And I think for the Sacramento Kings front office and for the Sacramento Kings ownership, that's what you look at, that stay the course and trust that what you've built, that you'll be able to, you know, excel in the good times, but more importantly, fight through the bad.
And Mike Malone and Mike Brown have something very in common specifically that I really like, and that's how big of advocates that they are for their guys. Like, I love what Mike Malone was talking about, how all the conversation was about the Lakers and nothing about Nikola Jokic. And he's 100% right. And he's saying things that fans have been saying when we turn on ESPN every single night, and the Lakers could lose by 20, but it's 4 LeBron highlights and then maybe a made three by the leading scorer of the team to beat the Lakers. Like, we're all tired of this. We get why it happens, but we're all tired of it. The same way Mike Brown hasn't necessarily said something about that, but the way Mike at the beginning of the season spoke out against the officiating, very blatantly, the way he said Keegan Murray should be in the Rookie of the Year conversation because he's doing what no other rookie is doing. The way he has advocated it, and he was advocating for Malik Monk being Sixth Man of the Year at the first month of the season when Malik was Band-Aid Monk and was balling out. He was advocating for Fox and Sabonis to be All-Stars and all NBA players months into the season. So, like, the two of them, the way they are advocates for their players, which is another reason why I think Mike – and DeMarcus connected so well, because Mike can tear into players. Mike Brown, Mike Malone, they can both tear into their players, but those players respond to it. And there's a famous incident that happened. I wasn't there for it, but I remember hearing the story about like an incident, a shouting match between Mike Malone and DeMarcus Cousins pretty early on. But DeMarcus and Mike Malone bonded because DeMarcus knew that Mike had his back. And I think there's a lot of that similarities, those similarities with how the Kings run now. And Mike Brown can call out a Kings player publicly in front of the media at the podium, or he can do it in the practice facility. And we've heard so many comments about how he focuses more on Fox and Sabonis than anybody else, and his team responds to that. Like, I think that element of coaching is something that I don't know if other coaches do it. I'm sure Eric Spoelstra does it. I'm sure other coaches around the league do it to some extent. But those are very distinct similarities between Malone and Brown that we haven't really seen in any Kings coach, or if we have seen, it wasn't done the right way. Like Dave Yeager would yell at his players, but it wasn't necessarily handled correctly. The George Karl incident was not handled correctly. You could even go back to like Luke Walton trying to shorten the leash on Buddy Hield, and then all of a sudden Buddy Hield had the biggest green light on the roster after some comments were made. So clearly Mike Brown and Mike Malone do things differently to where they can keep control and hold their guys accountable, but those guys respect them and appreciate them for it. And I think that's pretty important to highlight.
And you're 100% right about that, Matt. But the other thing that makes that work is he goes at Fox and Sabonis, and Fox and Sabonis, they take it. They yep. listen to what he's saying. They accept it, and they go and fix it. And I'm a big believer in this. I'm not reinventing the wheel, but a big believer in, like, Pop with Tim Duncan and Tony Parker in San Antonio. If the coach is getting on the quote-unquote star players and they're accepting it and they're listening to what he's saying and trying to correct it, there's no way that the seventh guy in the rotation can't do the same thing. Those things only work if you have the stars, for lack of a better term, participating in that as well. And Fox and Sabonis, and they participate in it. Jokic, Jamal Murray, they participate in it with Mike Malone. And I'm sure Jimmy Butler does the same thing with Coach Spo. It only works if the star player is in line with you. So I think they deserve credit for that working as well.
I agree.
It's like, I don't know if Matt's going to respond. I'm not sure.
You're wrong, Kenny.
DeMarcus and Mike Malone are like me and Matt. We just had to yell at each other, and then we bonded after that. And everything.
Who's DeMarcus and who's Mike Malone?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I'm probably DeMarcus. DeMarcus was a hothead.
You're Mike Malone. And I was like, well, maybe not.
No, DeMarcus was a hothead. It was probably you're probably Mike Malone in that scenario.
I have a joke that I'm not going to say.
Okay. Well, for some reason, I'm thankful you didn't say it, because I know the way your brain works sometimes.
Yes.
I take it you got Denver in the series.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Mike Malone. So I'm gonna say Denver. I think Denver in six. I'll take Denver in six. I think the Miami Heat, they've put up so much of a fight in every single series to this point. They deserve the respect of saying that they're going to push Denver to a limit that maybe they haven't been pushed yet. So I say Denver in six.
Would this be the most improbable title ever?
Yeah.
I mean, certainly recent memory.
The only one that ever comes close in my mind is that 95 Rockets team. But the Rockets were the defending champions when they did that. They were a sixth seed.
Yeah.
And I remember they beat, like, all the teams they beat won, like, 60 games.
Oh, that's right. I remember you.
Yeah, but they were the defending champions.
Yeah.
They had a Clyde Drexler. Yeah. This will be crazy.
Man.
From Miami.
I think it'll be fun. What are we doing? Are we running it back for 30 minutes?
We're going to run it back with some Kings talk for a half hour and then the game coverage at 4:30.
There you go, man. So we've got you covered here. If you can't watch on ABC 10 or you're getting home a little late, we've got coverage of the NBA Finals beginning in just about 30 minutes. So if you're listening on ESPN 1320, 98.5 FM HD2, or the Odyssey app, don't go anywhere. We'll run it back with some Kings talk, and then we'll lead into the NBA Finals. And, of course, you can keep Matt George and our buddy Kevin John on ABC 10 following the game tonight. Matt, we appreciate you as always. Make sure you check out the latest episode of the Locked On Kings podcast, and make sure that you're back here with us tomorrow at noon on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Go Niners.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.